It's episode 465 of the Locked On Texas Rangers podcast. Today, we're talking about the Rangers making changes in their coaching staff. A little bit of the sad changes, talking a little bit about the ALDS and, you know, looking back at the wild card games that were, you know, honestly pretty wild. Let's get started.
You are Locked On Rangers. Your daily Texas Rangers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
You are Locked On the Texas Rangers. I'm your host, Bryce Patrick. This is episode 465. Still can't believe I've done 465 of these episodes of this podcast, but you know, I am loving it. Even when the Rangers are bad, it is still fun to talk about baseball. But you know what's not fun? Getting fired. Getting fired is not fun. And that's what happened to a few Texas Rangers coaches. The Rangers have decided to part ways with Luis Ortiz and bench coach Don Wakamatsu. Calix Crabb, who is the assistant hitting coach, has also been relieved from his role. And Alex Berg is going to be probably leaving the Rangers. He's asked for permission to speak with other clubs about the possibility of talking to them, and he's been granted that. So all three of Luis Ortiz, Calix Crabb, and Berg, they were all, you know, original when Chris Woodward hired them as the manager in 2019 when he first started. So they've been there for a while. Wakamatsu is, you know, the third longest serving coach in Rangers history. He spent 9 total seasons with the club, worked under each of the Rangers' last 4 managers. So yeah, Wakamatsu being gone, that's a big deal. Wish him nothing but the best. It's a real bummer that the Rangers lineup cards aren't going to look really cool anymore, because he would do calligraphy on those lineup cards and make them look absolutely beautiful. Now there's gonna be regular boring lineup cards with, you know, regular fine hand. I'm sure Chris Woodward's handwriting is fine, but it's not going to be the same. Wishing all of those guys nothing but the best. They're all great dudes, but you know, at some point, especially with how bad the Rangers hitters were, I don't think it was a matter of, you know, Luis Ortiz being a bad hitting coach. I think a little bit of it was him not being given good personnel. I mean, look what he did with Joey Gallo and how well Joey hit this year, and how well Adolis Garcia hit this year, at least for the first part of this year. But other than that, there wasn't a whole lot to work with, honestly. They did get a lot of issues ironed out with Nathaniel Lowe. He looked much better towards the end of the season. But still, at some point, it's just you can only listen to the same voice for so long, and just changing up who's talking to him might fix it. It's a real bummer, and, you know, it's sad, but, you know, what are you going to do? This is a really terrible offense, just an absolutely horrendous offense. By the end of the season, there were only 3 everyday starters that had no OPS over 700. None of them had an OPS of 800. The leading OPSer, well, once Joey Gallo left, is Nathaniel Lowe with 771. Joey was 869, which is pretty nice. But other than that, Andy Ibañez had a 756 OPS, and Adolis Garcia had a 741 OPS that really just was pretty much buoyed by that huge, huge month of May. Or was it June? I don't know. The season is so long, it's hard to keep track of these things. But still, bummer to lose coaches. Glad that Chris Woodward's staying. I don't think that was ever really going to change. And I know he didn't feel great about those guys being let go. And when they talked about maybe making a change in the coaching staff, I was really terrified that Tony Beasley might be gone. Not that anything bad is ever his fault. Tony Beasley is an absolute treasure, and he should be a Rangers coach for as long as he wants, until he goes and gets a big league manager job, which, you know, I would love for him to get someday, and I think he'd be great at it. But that's beside the point. He's still there. As far as we know, pitching coaches are still there. Bullpen coach still there. So yeah, it's sad to see these guys go. But again, like I said, sometimes you just need a new voice in there to kind of change things up a little bit, because this offense was absolutely dreadful, just dreadful to watch. Hopefully they'll be better next year. I'm sure they will, with however many free agents they end up adding. in the postseason, end of the final season, I guess the final Rangers press availability of the season, they talked a lot about being aggressive this offseason, making big moves, being very active, and, you know, all in very nebulous ways. I'm going to talk more about that in the next episode. I have to formulate my thoughts and then give a proper rant about all of my feelings about them saying, oh yeah, we spent a lot of money this offseason, because I will believe it when I see it. But anyway, it's ALDS day right now. The ALDS is going on as I'm recording this. It's the White Sox and the Astros. And as look, the Astros have a 1-0 lead. Lance Lynn is on the hill. But we have an expert, an absolute expert, a former White Sox member, team member, who had a decade plus long MLB career, Gordon Beckham, who was nice enough to record some video that and make some predictions about this ALDS series. I guess this specific game. We'll have some more picks throughout the playoffs and some more content coming. But first, we're going to hear this quick word from our sponsors, and then we'll get to what Gordon Beckham thinks about this White Sox and Astros series. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why would you endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders parts from on their computer, choosing only the brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pockets. You can save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why would you spend up to 30, 50, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years, and their prices are reliably low for every single customer. They've got everything you could ever need, so go explore their easy-to-use website today. Find the solution to your auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How'd You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. Now, let's hear this word from Gordon Beckham. He is doing a new series with the Locked On Podcast Network, talking about all these playoff games, a real expert, 11-year major league career, really great player, spent a lot of seasons with the White Sox, even broadcasted a few games for them this season. So let's hear what he has to say, what he thinks about this series, and what it's going to look like.
What's going on, everybody? This is Kim Becker with a Locked On Now insider report in the MLB Divisional Series games are getting started, and we have our MLB insider right here with us today to break them down. Gordon Beckham, how you doing?
I'm good, Kim. Good to see you. It's a little bit late on the East Coast, but we're still rocking and rolling.
I know. I hate to rub it in. I'm in Arizona, so it's not as late as where you are, but I promise I won't keep you up all night here. But Gordon, let's talk about the Chicago White Sox, Houston Astros. You have a little bit of experience with the White Sox, so I hear. And it sounds like a lot of people are going to be cheering on the Chicago White Sox because they're still not quite over the whole Houston Astros cheating scandal thing. So in your opinion, what's the most important thing that the White Sox have to do to really get this series going on the right foot?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me is the fact that the White Sox have kind of been overlooked all year. They definitely are coming into the postseason with a chip on their shoulder. Their offense is dynamic. I know the Astros have a comparable, if not better, offense than the White Sox, but I've watched these guys all year. I actually called the game with Jason Benetti when they were down in Houston. And so I watched firsthand four games where they got swept. And it was not pretty. So I think at the end of the day, they're going to show up a lot better than they did in the middle of the summer there. But I think their offense is important. They've got to come out. They've got to swing the bats. They've got to be aggressive. And that's kind of the MO of their team. When they come out, when Tim Anderson leads the charge and he gets out there and really just puts on a show, they do well. I mean, every time Tim Anderson does well, the White Sox follow. So, for me, it's Tim Anderson. If he shows up in the playoffs, they're going to have a long run.
All right. Well, you kind of led me right into my next question. The Astros have probably the most well-balanced offense in all of baseball. How difficult do you think it's going to be for the White Sox pitching staff to really keep these games within reach?
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, Houston's just bringing a lineup that is just stacked from top to bottom. I mean, all their offensive numbers basically spell that out. I think that the White Sox, what they've lived on the whole season is their pitching. I mean, they from the start to the finish, they basically just did it with pitching because they had some serious injuries in their lineup for most of the season, and they were able to cobble some things together. Some guys stepped up to get them to where they wanted to be, where they could have that lead and just kind of coast into the playoffs. But the pitching was really what kept them into all these games, kept them above water. Lance Lynn and McCullers going tomorrow night or tomorrow afternoon is going to be amazing to watch. Great matchup. You've got two awesome high-powered offenses, and then you got great pitching staffs on both sides. I think the White Sox pitching staff is a little bit better, their bullpen, you know, definitely has the edge.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, the White Sox won 93 games and the AL Central, while the Houston Astros won 95 games and the AL West, but it seems that the Astros are really the team that's in most conversations here. Can you tell us why that is?
Yeah, I think that what they do a lot of things well. I mean, they've got good pitching. They've got solid pitching. And so, honestly, the pitching, it comes from guys that you don't really know. You haven't heard a whole lot about. I mean, you've got McCullers at the top, but then you've got other guys right behind him that are just basically stacking up. They've got three ERAs. They're handling their business. And I think that that going with an offense that's just potent, they put up great at-bats. I mean, I watched them all for three and a half, four games when I was calling it, and they just put together good at-bats. I mean, the White Sox have good pitching, and Houston really makes you grind for each out. And I think that that's the reason they're tough. They just kind of outlast guys.
All right. Well, it's going to be an awesome series here. But before we wrap this one up, Gordon, I got to get your prediction on this one.
Yeah, I think it's I got to go with the team that drafted me and the White Sox. I'm going to go the White Sox in four. I think they're going to come out and they're going to split in Houston and get and then win two back at Guaranteed Rate in Chicago. So that's my hope. I don't know. We'll see.
I love it. Well, we'll see. Well, I'm sure we'll do a little follow up on this and see how right you were.
Sounds good. I don't even. I'm over two so far. So.
Oh no. Okay. Well, hopefully we'll be one for three here. Who knows? We'll see.
Hey, that was way better than I did in my career. So it's gonna be perfect.
All right, Gordon. Well, thanks so much, and for everybody listening, for more local experts and insider analysis, make sure you stay tuned to your local Locked On podcast. Locked On, your team every day.
Well, that is a lot to digest. And, you know, he made a lot of great points. And I think specifically talking about the Astros pitching staff being a lot of guys you haven't really heard of. I mean, obviously you got Zach Greinke and Lance McCullers. Everybody knows who they are. But they got a lot of young guys, which really frustrates me because they're going to be they're probably going to be pretty solid next year again, too, even if they do end up losing Carlos Correa. Their offense is deep, it's stacked, and their pitching staff. I mean, Luis Garcia is, you know, definitely firmly in the race for AL Rookie of the Year. Farmer Valdez is still 27. By the way, Luis Garcia is 24. McCullers, 27. And Jose Urquidy is 26. Jake Odorizzi made a few starts for him this year, 23 starts, actually. He was probably their worst starter and still pitched 105 innings with a 4.21 ERA, which really would have been pretty high on the Rangers pitching staff. But their bullpen is stacked. It frustrates me endlessly that this team is so deep. Their bullpen is good. Their lineup is good. And, you know, they're a good team, which makes you have – in order to be a good villain, you have to be actually good. If you're just bad, then, like, it's like, okay, hooray, we overcame this small adversity of beating a bad team who we also hate. But when they're good, it's like, all right, you got to actually, you know, put something behind it. But I still have a lot of faith in this White Sox team. Like, I talked about how the starting pitching staff for, you know, Houston is pretty good, but this is, I think, the deepest and the best rotation in baseball in the Chicago White Sox. You have Dylan Cease, Dallas Keuchel, Lance Lynn, Carlos Rodon. All those guys are absolute studs. I mean, Dallas Keuchel had an off year this year, but if he's your number five, that's pretty solid. And I'd say that he is their number five. Obviously, Lance Lynn is starting in this game. I believe it's either Lucas Giolito or Carlos Rodon in games two and three. Their bullpen is absolutely stacked. just straight up stacked. Also, Ronaldo Lopez is a really good pitcher, and he only pitched in 57 and two thirds innings this year. He's 27, pitched in 20 games, started 9 of those, and kind of a hybrid coming out of the pen kind of guy. Same with Michael Kopech, is a guy who I believe they envisioned as a starter, pitched in 44 games this year and threw 69 and a third innings, so well over an inning per outing, and has got some absolute gas out of the pen. You know, I said he pitched 69 and a third innings, 103 strikeouts. That's an absolutely insane 13.4 strikeouts per 9 innings. And their closer, Liam Hendricks, got even better than that. 14.3 strikeouts per 9 innings. Pitched 71 innings, struck out 113. That's absolutely bonkers. He pitched in 71 innings, and Dallas Keuchel pitched in 162. Now, I know Dallas Keuchel isn't a big strikeouts guy. He wasn't even close. Keuchel had 95 strikeouts and in more than double the amount of innings. Liam Hendricks had 113, so nearly 20 more in half the innings, less than half the innings. That's absolutely bonkers. Also, Jose Ruiz in the pen is really good. Aaron Bummer, Garrett Crochet, just really stacked pen. Oh, yeah, also they got Craig Kimbrel. Almost forgot about him. They made that huge trade for him. Their lineup is absolutely stacked as well. Yasmani Grandal had a super weird season where he's hitting basically like 200 and walking a crap ton. 87 walks and 82 strikeouts, 23 home runs. This guy had a monster season. Jose Abreu did what he always does, had an on-base of 350, hit 30 home runs. The rest of their offense is pretty solid. Tim Anderson had like a little bit down year for his power. 17 home runs. Yoan Moncada, only 14 home runs. Andrew Vaughn, that rookie who just absolutely hits the crap out of some baseballs, only 15 home runs. Luis Robert had a really good power season, even though he only hit 13 home runs. He did that in 68 games. Adam Eaton, you know, fine, basically replacement player. But with Eloy Jimenez back and healthy, he's doing a lot of work there. Also, I believe Yermín Mercedes is in this lineup. Not exactly sure. Had a really great start to the season. Was really challenging Adolis Garcia in that early rookie of the year chase, but really fell off and ended up spending some time in the minor leagues. Had a weird moment where he said he was going to retire and then didn't retire. I don't know, all kinds of weird stuff around this team, but I have a lot of confidence in the White Sox beating the Astros. And you know what? I got one of my wild card picks right. And, you know, I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in a second, but hopefully the White Sox can pull this out because pretty much everyone is rooting for them because, as they should, everyone still has hate for the Astros. But before I talk about that wild card chase, We are well past the chase. The chase is done. The divisional series is here. But I'm going to talk to you guys about our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. We're back and better than ever, and all eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back for another football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all pro and college football action this season. With an updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline continues to be the number one source for everything football betting. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Don't forget to use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Now, of course, the Yankees, the one time I ever wish good things for them, they can't give it to me. Four former Rangers on this team. None of the pitchers pitched. Ruben Odor had a pinch hitting appearance, so you know he showed up there. Joey Gallo did not deliver like I said he would. Put a charge into a couple of balls, but went 0 for 4 with strikeout and two men left on base. But I really didn't care for A-Rod just talking so much trash. It was just absolutely infuriating watching A-Rod say, oh, well, all this pressure is on Joey Gallo. Oh, it's all on Joey Gallo. It's not on Joey Gallo. They got 9 people batting. That's how baseball works. There's a lot of people that have to hit. If one guy isn't going, then it's not all his fault. I mean, Giancarlo Stanton did absolute work getting 3 hits and an absolute massive massive home run, and one that looked like a home run and fooled absolutely everybody in the first inning. Also, Anthony Rizzo had a home run. Aaron Judge had a hit. Gio Urshela had a hit. Other than that, nobody else did anything. Literally, nobody else did a single freaking thing. Brett Gardner was, again, in center field. I don't know why they didn't employ the all-big boy outfield with Judge in center field, Stan in right field, and Joey in left field. I don't know, but they made a choice. It didn't work out. They talked about how they wanted the Red Sox, which is stupid. You'd never say that. You never give your rival extra ammunition. It's just bonkers to do that. You know they're going to be mad at you. Like, they're already amped up to get in this game, and then they also have home field advantage. You're like, yeah, that's fine. That's fine. We'll go. We've played there, you know, well before. It doesn't matter. It's the playoffs. It's a one game winner take all. The first time, I believe, so the Red Sox and Yankees have played each other in a winner take all game. Gerrit Cole got absolutely mashed, gave up a pair of home runs, and didn't get out of the third inning. That was not something that I saw coming. Nathan Eovaldi looked really good and pitched five and a third innings, only gave up one run, struck out eight, looked absolutely just ridiculously good. And the Yankees bullpen wasn't quite able to shut the door. And it just was bad. It was bad, of course. The one time I want the Yankees to do well, or just one Yankee in particular. If Joey went 4-for-4 with four home runs and they ended up losing on a walk-off by Kyle Schwarber or Xander Bogaerts or whoever, I would have been happy. I'd be like, look, it's not Joey's fault. It's not Joey's fault. But now people are going to be looking and pointing at him like it's all his fault. Brett Gardner went 0-for-3 with three strikeouts. The rest of the offense didn't do much anything outside of that top four. You know, everyone talked about how vaunted this Yankees offense is. It's literally just four guys that people were worried about. Gary Sanchez wasn't even in the starting lineup. Higashioka was the one who was catching. He came in and pinch hit and did not get a hit. We're going to adore pinch hit for Andrew Velasquez. Didn't get a hit in two at-bats. But, you know, it is what it is. Of course, the one time I want good things for the Yankees, they can't deliver. It's fine. I'm fine. Definitely not, you know, seething with rage. And I'm sure Joey will get another opportunity at a postseason. Maybe they can actually win their stinking division next year, Yankees. Huh? Maybe win your division. Get Joey more than one game in the playoffs next year. I would appreciate that. Or just win the wild card. It's fine. Whatever. I'm fine. The Dodgers and the Cardinals played a heck of a wild card game. A heck of a wild card game. Just an absolute thriller. You know, Juan Soto was there. Of course he was, sitting with his agent and wearing a Trey Turner jersey, which is just absolutely incredible. Juan Soto was having the absolute time of his life. The Cespedes family barbecue baseball boys, they tweeted that Juan Soto is the only baseball fan watching a game who can realistically and justifiably yell out, why the heck did you swing at that? Because he has one of the best batter's eyes in baseball. An absolutely incredible guy. And if I were a Nationals fan, I would be absolutely terrified. Absolutely terrified of him going to see his friends that have been traded and who are succeeding on a very stinking good baseball team that won 106 games and still played in the wild card game. We're nearly eliminated in the wild card game. It's absolutely bonkers that they can have that good of a season. And, you know, in the past, before they had the wild card, they just wouldn't have, you know, wouldn't have made the playoffs at all. I kind of like having another one game playoff. It's absolutely bonkers every year. It doesn't do a good job of rewarding the teams that were actually good. But, you know, we now get to see an ALDS of Dodgers versus the Giants. In case you didn't watch the game, it was absolutely incredible. St. Louis got a run in the top of the first inning, and that was their entire offense. That's it. That's their entire scoring production came in the top of the first inning. Max Scherzer was not himself. He walked three different people in this one, only gave up a run in his 4 1/3 innings, and wasn't able to get out of the fifth inning. I was surprised they pulled him as early as they did. He had thrown quite a few pitches, though. I mean, 94 pitches. And even though 60 of them were strikes, he just was not quite there. He was just missing, just off the plate. And this is one of Joe West's last games. He actually called a pretty decent game. I hate to give Cowboy Joe West credit and to talk about him at all, but he's retiring, and soon we won't have to think about him even a little bit, which is just very exciting. He can just go off and be his cowboy self and record his country western albums, and we don't have to think about him at all. It's going to be great. Absolutely looking forward to it. We had a Justin Turner, absolutely massive bomb off of Adam Wainwright in the fourth inning to, I believe, lead off that inning. Adam Wainwright was nails at 40 years old. It's absolutely insane that he's 40 years old and pitching like he is. Max Scherzer is 37 years old. Just an old guy versus old guy matchup. Both of them still in their prime, absolutely kicking butt. It looked like Wainwright was kind of done for a few years, but the last 2 years, he has been absolutely nails. Five and a third innings, just one run, which came on that solo home run. Pair of walks, five strikeouts, looked absolutely fantastic. And just a really good end of the game. It looked like we were going to get a pinch hitter, Gavin Lux, and then they pull out. This is why I hate NL baseball. Comes on, let's see, who is it actually pitching? Alex Reyes was pitching instead of was it McFarland? TJ McFarland, who is a lefty. So in comes Albert Pujols, and it looked like he had a chance to come and hit the game-winning walk-off home run against his former club, which would be just so hilarious and poetic and make Cardinals fans extremely sad. But he didn't end up getting that chance. Well, he did get that chance, but he didn't make good on it. He hit a ball to the warning track on a 3-0 count, which, you know, I've made my thoughts about swinging 3-0 very clear. It's probably the best pitch you're going to hit, so go nuts. And if you're Albert Pujols, swing on any pitch you freaking want. You're an absolute legend, one of the best hitters in the history of baseball. So go nuts. But this game was won by the one, the only, Chris Taylor, who had been really struggling towards the end of the season, but comes in. Alex Reyes just absolutely gifts him a slider, just hanging right in the middle of the plate. Chris Taylor, who was in a slump and did not start this game, pinch hitting for Gavin Lux, who was pinch hitting for the pitcher, Kenley Jansen. Oh, wait, no. Lux was pinch hitting for Kenley Jansen, and then Albert Pujols pinch hit for him once the lefty was announced. But it's fine. He was pinch hitting for, I guess, technically Brustar Graterol a while ago. Anyway, this was an incredible game, a walk-off bomb that was absolutely mashed into left field. Chris Taylor is a hero and is absolutely going to start game one of that series. He had a really good season, even though he slumped towards the end of it. Really, really good season for Chris Taylor. He was one of their better hitters, one of their more consistent hitters as well, along with AJ Pollock. But he just absolutely comes up in the biggest moments. Had 20 home runs during the regular season, an OPS plus of 110. This lineup is just so incredibly deep. Even with Cody Bellinger having an absolute horrendous season, an OPS of 542 in 95 games. Not a small sample size. I don't know what the heck's happened to him the last few years. Maybe they'll cut him. The Rangers can get him and fix him. I don't know. We'll see. That's a talk for another day. But a really good wild card series. Going to be a really good divisional series. Very much looking forward to the NLDS of two 106-plus win teams, 106-win team versus 107-win team in the ALDS. It's absolutely nuts. They probably should fix this, you know. I really liked the playoffs last year. I didn't love that it gave so many bad teams a chance to be in the playoffs and then, you know, kind of earn the way in. But I did like having more playoff baseball. I think that's a good thing. I think they should revisit how to do that without having a crap ton of mediocre teams in the playoffs. But, you know, we'll get there when we get there. It's playoff season now. A lot of fun. I'm going to talk tomorrow a lot about these promises that the front office is making and that I don't think ownership is going to live up to. But thanks again for making Locked On Rangers your first listen of the day. I really appreciate y'all all watching and listening. If you're not watching or you're not subscribed on YouTube, please go do that. Make me look cool. Make me look more popular than I already or actually am. Going to be a lot of fun talking tomorrow about that. I have a lot of thoughts about this front office and about this ownership group not spending money. But that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Rangers. And until next time, don't forget to enjoy some playoff baseball.